You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Glorious Monday to you and yours. Thanks for tuning to the program. I'm Jeff, that's Tom. Director Matthew in the house as well. We're off to a good start. We're humming today, right? It's a beautiful morning. You walked outside, everything seemed a little bit better. Probably true of a Sunday morning as well, right? Because Florida State went into Chapel Hill and told North Carolina, come get you some. And I mean it that way. I want to talk about that aspect of what happened in this game. Because it's different than other Florida State wins in this brief tenure under Mike Norvell. This was fully earned, and it was not to be questioned. It was not an accident. There were no incredibly fortuitous breaks that come around once a season. There weren't some crazy 100-yard kick return followed by a blocked punt, followed by a tipped pass. None of that. No. This was Florida State beat North Carolina's ass in Chapel Hill after falling behind 10-0. And a disastrous start to this football game, a disastrous first quarter for a team that for the most part has been lacking when it comes to confidence and belief, to get down 10-0 as prohibitive underdogs, and I mean of a significant variety, only to steal your resolve, bow up, and physically dominate the game from that point forward, the second quarter on, is truly a sign of not only continued hard work, but belief, buy-in, and confidence that carries over after a victory against Syracuse, and that really kind of carries over from the second half of the Louisville game. It was not a mirage, but rather Florida State was getting better. They were moving to this place. Now, they have been saddled with injury for most of this season, and so even that kind of affirmation, that kind of belief in oneself and in each other and in a coaching staff and the work ethic and all of the principles being taught, and you know, all it might not lead to victory, you know. And Norvell has talked about too that just because you work hard doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win, but certainly you give yourself the best chance to win if you continue in the face of overwhelming adversity and devastating results. If you continue to work hard and believe in both yourself and your teammate next to you and the coaches that you believe, clearly you believe, have your best interest in mind and the means to go about helping you, then you give yourself a chance in a game like this to come back from down 10-0, to stay the course, to have some success, which leads to more success, which leads to more success, which begins to be really self-fulfilling. And Florida State kind of just took control of this game. And along the way, may have very well found out exactly who they have to be in order to win games this year. I think they did find that out. I think we now see that. It's precarious, even still, even though we bask in the glow of victory here today, as we should, even though we're all elated about a big win, and you really should take the time to let that wash over you, because that was, in my mind, highly unlikely. It did not seem like something that was going to happen, and it didn't get off to the kind of start that would portend of a comeback victory. But because they did win this game, because they have found this formula, you know, how many other teams are they going to face that might be disinterested? Today you find out De'Aaron King is not going to play the rest of the year for Miami. That game now certainly pops up on the radar as another possible victory. I think when we look for other signs or chances to win games, obviously UMass, the next opponent, congratulations, Walt Bell gets his second win in 20-some-odd tries there at UMass. He gets a win. So, but that should be an automatic win. That'll get you to 3. You know, you're going to need a colossal upset if you have some fanciful dream of making a bowl game, because that's what the Jacksonville State game did to you, which will forever come back to haunt us. But you know, you do have an opportunity if you've got teams that don't feel like being there or don't play well on a given day, and or if you fall back on this belief and confidence and you have a healthy Jordan Travis, you can beat Boston College, you could beat NC State. So there are games out there now that look like possibilities, opportunities, as Coach Norvell would say, and all coaches tend to say that, even in games which they're underdogs. Well, got a hell of an opportunity here. He said that about the North Carolina game. And most of us, when you're an 18-point, underdog, we might not describe it as an opportunity. We would describe it as a, and hold our breath and hope we don't get pummeled game. But no, they took that opportunity. They end up winning this game. And congratulations also, not just to this team, but specifically I want to congratulate Jordan Travis, who looked like for the first time, not just in fleeting moments or big plays here and there where he's elusive. It looked like for the first time in his career. Now, a lot of this had to do with injury. A lot of that's had to do with circumstances that are out of his control. But for whatever reason, it really hasn't happened until I think Saturday, Tom. He looked completely comfortable with every facet of what was being asked of him at the quarterback position. He ran the ball with authority, all the read option stuff. He was in total control. He threw the ball accurately when they dialed up shot plays, calmly stood in the pocket 4 or 5 different times on crossers that I saw that he's never shown the ability to do without getting happy feet. I mean, every aspect of what this game plan was perfectly devised for him. It was perfectly designed for him, and he executed it almost as good as anybody can possibly execute a game plan.
Yeah, the pocket stuff, you know, the patience to throw the football, we saw some of that in camp.
I'm talking about a game, right.
Yeah, that's because you got a green jersey on, mm-hmm. and it's not live, and you don't have to worry about the liability that can be our offensive line actually coming back to bite you because nobody can touch you. The thing that was new to me, and listen, you've got to take that step from the practice field to the game field. That's a massive step for the game to slow down enough for you to be able to translate it from, you know, a Tuesday to a Saturday.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was blown away by was his patience in the read option game.
It was great.
We haven't had a quarterback here that's ever looked like that for one game since I've been covering the team, and that's since 2010.
Yeah.
You know, Jimbo would call those elements in his offense. Yeah. Christian didn't know what to do. EJ didn't know what to do. No. We thought maybe Everett Golson would be the exception to the rule. He came here. He didn't know what to do. And so on and so forth. Until Saturday, when you saw us at the mesh point as patient as Wake Forest at times, where you're thinking, oh my God, he's going to let that develop. That's a gain of 8.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Across the board, even at 10-0. And that throw, that touchdown in the back of the end zone, that's a slim margin. It's decent coverage. It's not terrible coverage. It's a great catch. But I thought across the board, we looked prepared for everything North Carolina was going to throw at us, whether you're talking about offensive players or defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sight for sore eyes. And we made them quit. They quit in the fourth quarter on that game. And we forced them to do so. That is something that has not happened around here in quite some time, especially when you're facing a conference opponent. Like last year's game against North Carolina, completely different script. We got out to a big lead. They dominated us, and they dropped the ball at the very end. And we felt like we escaped.
Yeah,
but who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? You're building. It's good for recruiting momentum.
Yeah.
This one, we took it from them. We took it to them, and we took it from a 35-7 run in this football game. And it felt like it. That was representative of what we were watching on the field.
It was, and it's to the place where how many of you guys out there had to pinch yourself? You know, we have been down for so long and beaten up for so long and disappointed and grown used to being disappointed for so long that sometimes it's hard to accept when something good is happening. You know, they're playing exceptional football for the better part of 2.5 quarters. Florida State goes on the sustained run of winning the line of scrimmage, really dialing up those big shot plays at just the right times. They were tackling well. They're doing a lot of things, you know, that they needed to do in order to win the game. They're winning first down, or at least not losing first down at all. Really not at all. They stayed way ahead of the chains most of the day if you go look at all those advanced numbers. But even when they got well behind, I mean, how in the world we have a 3rd-and-18 conversion or 3rd-and-12 conversion,
yep,
or whatever it
was? That was Helton, yep.
Yeah. So all this stuff is are signs of real growth and belief and reasons to get excited. But as it's happening, if this were two teams that I didn't care about, if maybe I had bet on and I was just watching two teams to see a result based on said wager, Florida State at the end of the third quarter, if they were a different team, not named Florida State, and North Carolina were whoever, they could have been North Carolina against anybody else, I would have said, well, this game's over. I'm going to flip over. I'm going to flip away from this game because it's over. Clearly, that team is doing to North Carolina something that they can't stop. I don't need to watch this game anymore. I've lost or won this bet, whatever it would be. I'm flipping over to this other game. But because it's us, because we've been down for so long, and because we found a way to let other teams back in the game, hell, just a week ago, found a way to let another team back in the game, I refused to trust it. I was like, well, the other shoe's going to drop any time now. We're going to drop a ball. Something's going to happen. Somebody's going to do something dumb. Carolina's going to get a gift. There's going to be a bust somewhere in coverage. Something's going to – No, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And, in fact, if you're a North Carolina fan today, you're asking yourself, what the hell, man? What are we doing? We got better players than Florida State, and we looked outclassed, outcoached, and really, frankly, in the fourth quarter, disinterested. I'll let them worry about that. But that has to be you could tell. I mean, the stands were emptying for a reason, but also they weren't pressing the matter at all out of desperation. It was sort of like, can we go home? I'd like to go home. It's rainy out here. It's been a tough day. We're not playing real well. Let me just take it on down the road. That was the strangest thing. A lot of people pointed to it the last drive for North Carolina where they scored. I thought it happened before then. I didn't think that they looked like they had a sense of urgency. I think they had a look in their eyes as if they were whooped.
No, so at the end of the first half, I texted you. See that look in Howell's eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Because he had a run, I think, that got him inside the 30-yard line or something, and then was called back for a hold. And the look that he had was just this, everybody's failing. They're failing me. What is this? This is not what we prepared for. And I asked a couple of people on the post-game show, which you can catch here on War Chant TV after every game, home and away. There was one gentleman who called from the stadium. He was still hanging out there, and he's on his way back. And I said, was it? Because it felt dead through the television screen, even in the beginning, even at 3-0, 10-0. Mm-hmm. And the sense I got from him and others was it was appropriately loud for when Carolina scored early, but it wasn't extra loud. And the way that the players and Mac Brown had talked all week was, this is a spot for revenge, for what we were not able to do last year. So you would think you'd see that extra juice from the players and from the sideline and feel it in the building. But even when they were winning, there was nothing really there. It was akin to a Wake Forest crowd more than it was to, say, the North Carolina game against Clemson last year, where that fan base knew what that moment was. They didn't recognize it today. And maybe it was the blowout loss to Georgia Tech that they were like, the hell with you guys. But for whatever reason, who cares? The Noles who were up there reported back that, yeah, we were louder than they were.
Well, it sounded like it. It certainly sounded like it for much of that game. I mean, I heard the war chant loud and clear throughout the afternoon. It's crazy. You got to put it into context. Obviously, I know we're in the midst of a bad season and a long rebuild, and a lot of that doesn't change. But we have preached on this show for 3 weeks running, and you're tired of hearing me say it. I wanted to see evidence of traction. I have talked about this till I'm blue in the face. I have said in a lost season and a frustrating and about a frustrating result, if you're going to be buckled in at all to watch the remainder of this season, then you have to look for signs and evidence that points towards a brighter future. And it's possible, because that's what happens in a rebuild, is there is it's implied in the name. You begin to see it built back up, okay? We've watched other programs do this. Luckily, we've had to watch a lot of other programs do this while we remained up here. And every time I recognize it, I'd rather admire it, even if I don't like the team or the program, because it's hard damn work, and it takes you to a dark place. You've got to be willing to stay the course in the midst of horrible results, in the midst of bitterly disappointing moments where kids are still learning how to win and they just don't know what to do. They don't know how to make the plays necessary to win games. They don't know how to avoid the game-changing, disastrous plays. And I have another one of my sayings over the years is that it's one thing in the preseason to accept that something's going to look a certain way, but then you watch the actual game, wins and losses happen for a reason, and they require from you an emotion. It delivers a record. It happens. It elicits emotion. And so you have to kind of beat that back and say, no, I'm going to stay the course here. Let's just see. It gets to a point where maybe you break. Maybe you eventually say, no, can't do it anymore. But if you're in it for the long haul and you've accepted intellectually that it's a long rebuild, then you're just looking for traction, little signs that the talking points, the mantras, the whatever the philosophies of this particular coach and his staff have, is it catching on? Are you seeing evidence of it? And we now have, in back-to-back weeks, really, you got 2.5 games worth now. You've got this result, this game. You've got the last game. And that first quarter was big last game against Syracuse because it was the carryover from the Louisville game that I wanted to see. So you really are beginning to see those important signs of traction. He's getting through to these guys. They've got a long way to go. They're not good enough. They do need an influx of talent, hopefully buoyed by the vast majority of the current verbal commitments for the 2022 class. Maybe that happens. So you're going to lose some already. You've lost some, but that's part and parcel to the recruiting process. That has nothing to do with nothing. I can deal with that. But do you keep that hardcore group of elite players that we're all keeping a close eye on? It was great to see Travis Hunter having fun there with, was it Robinson or was it Brownlee? It was Brownlee.
Brownlee.
Yeah. So, So how great is that? That is so fun to see. And that's a real good sign. And you got a chance now to keep it rolling because, again, you should get this UMass win. Now, that would be 3 straight wins. And, you know, look, I think the second half of the schedule is really difficult. But I do think that there are some moments now that have popped up because you have found this identity. And certainly they're playing with a measure of belief and confidence that they didn't have before, where certain things become possible in the second half that we didn't think were possible. There may be games where physically you just get whooped. But I don't think it will be because you're confused as to how to execute and win in a game plan. I think they got their game plan moving forward, and they know how to set it up. So that is, by the way, as an aside, just because I get tired of hearing it when it was at the beginning of the season, is this the 4th straight game that Florida State has had fewer penalties than their opponent? I do believe it is. I know going all the way back to the Wake game, they had fewer penalties.
Yeah, and Carolina had 11 or 12.
Yeah, Carolina had 12. They were terrible with penalties. I think we had a total of 5, and 3 of those were in the first quarter when we did dumb stuff. So there's 2 the rest of the game. That's smart. That's good. And they keep doing that, by the way. There are areas that show they have cleaned things up.
Yeah, and we overcame a 1st and 20 in that situation early. We had a hold, and then North Carolina had a delay of game for calling out the signals or whatever they were doing, and we faced a 3rd and 8. This is the play of the game for me because it creates the drive of the game. We had a 3rd and 8 from North Carolina's 47-yard line, and we call a run to Corbin on 3rd and 8.
Off the right side, and he gets it.
We end up getting 16 out of it, but to me, that's a really big moment for 2 reasons. One, it signals that we're not panicking. We're going to stick with what brought
Commitment
us here.
Commitment to what we are.
And that looks like it's probably going to be 2 down territory. As long as you don't get stuffed at the line of scrimmage, we're probably going for it on 4th down.
So there was forethought, yep.
Right. I loved everything about that call. And
me
everything
too.
That signaled
yeah.
you know, to us, not to North Carolina, but to us about what we believe in. And also that we recognize there are certain players on this roster, very few of them, that can change the game for us. Let's get the ball in their hands in those situations. And what did it parlay itself into? North Carolina had the football for 11 of the first 12 minutes of this game to get out to that 10-0 lead.
Yeah.
A sleepy 2-score lead. 11 plays, 7.5 minutes. We take 7.5 minutes off the clock, including the quarter break, which allows the defense the time to rest.
And get back. Yeah.
That paves the way for the 35-7 run. Without that, you don't have the 35-7 run. Huge moment.
No bust in the secondary. They also competed for balls, got their head turned around in phase when they realized the ball was in the air, made plays on the football, including an interception. I don't know. There's not another way to describe this other than outstanding win for Florida State. It really is a great win for a lot of reasons. It's not just a win. It's the way they won. It is a little bit of proof of concept in there as well. And what it reveals about what they think of this coaching staff, that's important. And so, you know, now we move forward. Obviously, you get the bye week, and then you've got UMass. But we'll have other news to come out from this. But I don't know, man. I watch upsets in college football all the time. So do you. You flip around all over the country. You're like, well, look at that. They were 20-point underdogs, and they won. Look at that. They were 14-point underdogs on the road, and they won. We never do it. We never do it. It's been great consternation. Me, Corey Clark, you, Ira, we've all talked about it for like, can we ever pull an upset?
Right.
You know, it's legal. You're allowed to do it. Other people do it.
You're allowed to develop as well. And then this team's developing. You're looking at a 2.5 game sample size, and it doesn't completely repair the Jacksonville State result. It doesn't. No way. But
it actually makes you angrier about the Jacksonville State result, because right now you'd already be at 3 wins with a chance to get your 4th against UMass coming up, and you'd be talking about going to a bowl.
This is correct. Who knows? Maybe they get crazy. Maybe they get crazy the second half. But you could dare to dream for a week and a half to two weeks here, because this is the momentum you found yourself with heading into a bye. So you get to sit on a good feeling rather than a bitter taste for 2 weeks. So I like that.
Really, it's going to be 3 weeks. You're going to beat UMass. So you mean.
And then you dare to dream for Clemson?
Let's see what Clemson does against Syracuse this weekend. Kind of an interesting game. I don't like Syracuse's chances. It may be a bad matchup for them. But let's just see, how interested are they in playing? Everybody, I mean, and this is a big part of it. We got to talk about the whole of college football, because this was, in retrospect, the park your ass Saturday we've been waiting on. Oh, my goodness. It's as if every game you flipped on, especially the early games, every game you flipped on went, oh, you thought that was good? Flip over here. It's equally as riveting. Oh, this is coming down to the final play, too. Look over here. This one's coming down to a field goal with no time. There's another. Oh, they're going for two. It was insane. Loved it. We'll talk about it next, what it all means, who's in trouble. I think you guys know Ed O is in real big trouble. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Good to be with you. Oh, let's get to this. I wanted to look at those numbers again. I mentioned earlier that obviously Ed O is in real trouble. That LSU, how much of the Kentucky LSU game did you watch?
Not enough. Need to do a lot of work.
Need to do a lot of work.
Need to get a lot better.
Yeah. It was 14-0, followed by 35-7. So the score wasn't quite as indicative as the ass kicking. That game could have been a name your score. So I'm just going to tell you, Tom, the presumption I had before the season began that Ed O was going to lose his job is spot on. We're good to go there. That is going to happen. It may happen next week. They play Florida this week.
Yeah. The rest of their schedule, in fact, is
it's not nice.
Dicey.
It's not nice. It's Arkansas,
dicey.
Alabama. Yeah, they got problems.
Ole Miss.
Yeah, they got issues. They've got issues. Man, that was a wondrous weekend. What a fun time to watch college football. I hope that you guys had as much fun as I did. I was smiling almost like Jordan Travis smiled throughout the game on Saturday. Did you notice that? Two things that really stood out to me besides our exceptional play. Jordan Travis was having a blast playing football. He didn't want to be anywhere else in the world in that moment than on that field with those guys kicking that ass. It was glorious. It's infectious. I love it when your leader is having fun and enjoying playing the game and competing like that. It rubs off on everybody, and it rubs off on us as fans, as viewers. I mean, I was smiling ear to ear right along with him, not just because of the great play. I was like, they're having fun. This group hasn't had a lot of fun playing football in a long time.
That's true. For me, it was more because of the great play, because he'll smile when we're losing, too. I'm like, you wipe that smile off your face. He'll be like laughing, and it's like 3rd and 17 because of a misplay. I'm like, oh, that's great. Glad you're having a good time out there.
Yeah, going to need you to be better, yeah.
He could smile all he wants if the game's going to be that slow for him. And that's the point that Kenny Dillingham made today in his press conference, was just look at the amount of snaps he has. He's really still technically kind of a freshman.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have that much, you know, you're talking about practice reps, which we can't really get into completely, but as we all can guess, he's been wholly limited from the beginning of fall camp here at different pockets of time. And we all know that because he's been limping on the field on Saturdays. But then the actual in-game snaps he's taken, he's in the first year of his development. And if the game has slowed down for him like we saw on Saturday, it won't always look that easy. But if it's that slow to him, we got a real chance, assuming his body holds up.
Yeah, that is the biggest thing, is does his body hold up? I'm telling you right now, I had a blast watching college football, partly because we looked absolutely buttoned up and looked like a team that had a cogent plan that they were willing to follow and fight through. And then the other games, I just flip all around. It was incredible. Texas, Oklahoma, obviously what we talk about, you know, ending with Alabama and Texas A&M. But even Nebraska, Michigan, which I thought would be a great game, turned into a great game as well. Penn State, Iowa lived up to the billing. Certainly hurt Penn State to lose their starting quarterback, but Iowa just plays great defense, kept pinning them down there, Just so many good things about this weekend of college football. It was a blast to watch. I mean, over and over and over again, I'd go, look at this. Ole Miss, Arkansas, you know, good for Pittman going for two there. It's the right call. It's a shame it doesn't work out, but they weren't going to get a stop. Nobody was going to stop anybody in that football game. I actually, I had a love-hate relationship with that football game just because I do like to see some semblance of defense be played in this game. There are aspects of the game that need to be played.
It's good to see that Lane got his popcorn ready eventually, as he certainly did in the week before. But, I think going for two there, too, what's more sustainable in overtime, Ole Miss offense or Arkansas's offense?
Oh, yeah,
and
no.
That's where you've got a chance to win it right here. You can win it right here, right now. They're on their heels. Go ahead. They're exhausted. I get it. I wish it worked out for him. I would have liked to have seen Woo Pig Suey weep on the field once more, but that's all right. Yeah, you're right. Between that and also the baseball this weekend, which was great, I mean, this is the time of year when my second television finds its permanent home.
Mm-hmm.
It moves around the house from now and again, but it is firmly entrenched right next to primary television because there's just too much happening. You need to have two devices plus probably a laptop or two.
Think about Mark Stoops in Kentucky right now, fresh off of beating Florida. They turn around and just dismantle LSU.
That's a validation win.
If I tell you before, and you know I was high on Kentucky before the season, not this high, but I liked Kentucky, and I've won some money on Kentucky. But I mentioned before that I thought, okay, bringing in a quarterback from Penn State, bringing in a passing game coordinator coming in from the Rams, these were all things. Kentucky has been a run-first team, play good defense, run the football. Not real big on the modern game, throwing the ball down the field. But they'll throw the ball down the field these days. So, Warren Thompson's done some things at Arkansas that's most unfortunate.
He wasn't going to do them here.
He was not, but he has showed up for them, that is for sure. Listen, I like KJ Jefferson. I like that team. I like they have some weapons to work with. But that said, Kentucky, back to Kentucky. They now are not only competent offensively in all aspects of the game, they'll beat most of the middling to subpar teams in the SEC. They'll beat the occasional good team like they did with Florida. This is going to be a bridge too far this weekend against Georgia and Athens. The dream dies for the East title this upcoming Saturday.
Air it out, see what happens. You never know. You might get the fumbles. Georgia might get the case of the fumbles, and the next thing you know, you got to be in position to take it. I agree. It's a bridge too far, but I'm reaching in the bag of takes from like 8 years ago because we haven't had to use this take in a long time. But for Kentucky, I said that term, it's a win of validation. Anybody can rise up on a week and give another team a scare, maybe even finish the job. But then after you do that, how do you respond? Do you come back and do you play another solid week of football? Or are you just that team that's going to every once in a while scare somebody and beat somebody and then go away?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for Kentucky, that was, all right, validation. We beat your ass and we're going to get your ass fired. That's what we're doing back-to-back weeks. What are you going to do about it? That's awesome. That's a step forward for them, and I'm happy for that dude. Mark Stoops is a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy, and he was fun to cover when he was here. The biggest moment of the weekend had to be the moment that Oklahoma decided to sit Spencer Rattler and go with Caleb Williams. All that happened from that point forward was a 38-13 run. They were down 28-7 at the time that they make the move. You know, Tom, we texted back and forth, and I know we're on different sides of the aisle of this game because of your wife. Not that it's her fault. I mean, she.
That's what that sounded like. Yeah.
Yeah, no. But I obviously I'm rooting for Oklahoma, and in that case, you're rooting for Texas. But when I texted you at the time, I think we both sensed that Texas was at a crossroads in that game.
Yeah.
And they needed to get a stop, and they also needed to go down and score.
Yeah, they needed to get to 48 before Oklahoma was even in the high 30s. Yeah. And if they did, then maybe things shut down a little bit and they calmed down. But that game had no calm whatsoever.
No chill. No chill to that game. But Rattler got pulled in this game and needed to. And you got a 4th-and-1 play, breaks for a 66-yard touchdown. You have there's just a lot of dynamics in this game. It's weird to say in any given college football season that a preseason Heisman candidate, some might have even said odds-on favorite, and a kid who, from what you read, seems to think that he was about to declare and go to the NFL and be drafted in the first round, could be benched at the midway point of the season for a freshman and have that be the catalyst for the offense that's been missing. In Norman.
Oh, yeah, they found it.
Oklahoma went from not, in our minds, based on the way they've played up to this point, not a real serious contender for the college football playoff to they may have just likely punched their ticket to it.
Well, maybe.
But think about the rest of the Big 12.
I hear you, but let me, real quick, looking at Texas defense, it's not a great defense. It's just that Oklahoma wasn't playing explosive offense this year. So Oklahoma would still have to do the same old thing, which is outscore a lot of people.
Oh, and I think in the Big 12 they will.
Yeah, but I don't know how appealing that's going to be when you make all these arguments and you've got a team like Cincinnati waiting in the wings.
No, now, but Cincinnati can get in and Oklahoma can get in. That's why this is fun right now. Georgia can get in and will.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Bama's going to get in. We'll see.
That's interesting.
We'll see.
That's really interesting because what was, I mean, completely right to assume before the Alabama loss to A&M was the SEC title game is an exhibition.
Exhibition,
it's
right.
It's about who has the higher seed.
Not anymore.
Because they're both going. You probably can't say that anymore. Maybe for Georgia, but not for Alabama.
No. Listen, I'm not saying Oklahoma's going to the college football playoff. I'm saying they just had a moment where now they can realistically entertain the idea, given the rest of their schedule, and what they may have just found to unlock that door offensively. They have been bogged down with Spencer, so we'll see. I just think that as a college football fan, to see it open up like this, there's a lot still to play for. I mean, yeah, Georgia looks like the best team in the country. We're still wondering if they're going to come across a game where their offense is going to have to be better. Their defense is the best in the country. It's not close. I got you. And what we thought would happen in that Auburn game did happen. And the question being asked going into that game was, how does Auburn score?
Yeah. Well, the cocktail party is still live, though.
Oh, it's a great game.
Mullen can devise up a game plan.
He'll make it interesting. Yeah, he'll make it interesting.
I don't think that's a surefire thing for Georgia. The defense will lead the way, but that's actually a wonderful matchup between a doofus who can really game plan it up against a defense that's enough intrigue for me to make sure that it's part of the rotation that day.
Yeah, if Doofus continues to start Emory Jones, though, I do think that's a Georgia win. We'll end up seeing. There's just a lot still going on. We're not even talking about Iowa, who got another win. So that was huge, obviously, against Penn State. Yeah, I mean, we're not even talking about them. They're the number two team in the country currently. So that's how wide open this thing is. It's how crazy it is. It's just fun. Brian Robinson entered his name into the portal. the seldom used receiver at Florida State who came here with high hopes, who when you see him in person in practice, you think that guy's going to contribute at some point. I don't know if it's the injuries. I don't know what it is. It just never clicked here, and he has now put his name in the portal. Miami had a player go in the portal today. This is portal time, Tom. Time to start looking around the country to see who's available. What's going on with some of those LSU recruits, some of those Miami recruits, some of those recruits that maybe we are in on and interested in upgrading the current roster?
What I'm very interested to see is how this NCAA waiver plays out. It was not reported widely last week, but the NCAA granted a waiver and a little bit of leeway for college football teams to go beyond the number 25 for incoming players just this one time, because they see that COVID has really skewed a whole bunch of things. There are fewer homes
those
for
short
players.
Short classes and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, there are fewer landing places. And it's not just because all these kids are throwing their hands up and quitting. It's that there are real ramifications to an extra year of eligibility.
Yes.
And so you've got to account for it in a certain way. This isn't ironclad, and I'm wondering if they're going to change the language somewhat. But you now have up to seven more places beyond the 25 to bring in for the upcoming year. And for a program like ours, that's massive. Now, the way you can generate those extra seven spots is up for a little bit of debate, but it looks like the kids have to transfer after the semester is over. So, like, this particular entering of the transfer portal by Brian Robinson would not count. But just know that if we have some players that we say, hey, man, you might want to play somewhere else after the season is over, we can go beyond 25. The NCAA has said, yes, you could do that. That's huge, especially if we're the team that has the momentum at the end of the year in this state. Over a team like Miami, who knows, maybe over a team like Florida. They may beat us head-to-head, but players might say, I'd rather go play for Norvell than Dan Mullen. This could be huge for us.
Also should note that Miami, North Carolina is this weekend. Who wants to quit more between Miami and North Carolina? There's all kinds of quitting litter in that field. There's just quit. One quit's going to touch another quit. All the quitting, tackling each other. Seldomly, by the way, based on Miami stats. Miami stats are last in the country in tackling.
I didn't know I was supposed to do the transfer portal noise if we have somebody enter it. Like from our own team, though, we're going to do that? All right. I mean, if you want.
Well, I just said transfer portal repeatedly.
Yeah, I know. People are calling for it.
Yeah, go ahead. There it is. And on that note, it's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I noticed it too on Saturday night. Thank you, Kyle. I'll touch on that in just a moment, the observation from Kyle. Tom, I've got wicked fast internet. I think you do too. And we should tell the fine folks about that.
It's the wickedest and the fastest, period. It's Xfinity.
It's Xfinity. You can call 1-800-XFINITY, visit Xfinity.com, or drop into an Xfinity store today for the details on the goodness of the varying speeds you get. Everything from the fastest in the world, it's an offer, I think it's called the fastest speed in the world, to I just need marginal internet speed. Just a little bit here and there, just a little something.
They
to
got
get the day.
The gig speed Wi-Fi too, which is really important because I've got the indoor TV setup and the outdoor TV setup. The outdoor TV does have one coax from Xfinity, so I don't have to worry about it there. But you know what? I don't have to worry about the other one either, because I use the Chromecast and it reaches from my office upstairs all the way down outside to the deck, and I can put on Red Zone on Sundays, or I can put on, I don't know, the ACC Network, I guess, on a Saturday or anything in between.
Begrudgingly.
Use it for baseball this weekend. Made sure I was watching some baseball, and that's cool.
It was awesome, by the way.
Xfinity Stream app on my phone. Any channel I have in my house, I could put on any device in my house. So it's like having a cable box wherever you go. It's all covered, man, and it's all thanks to our friends at Xfinity.
Yeah, they've just launched even more speeds. The gig speed internet by 20%. It's increased. Did you know that?
There you go.
That's a good thing. 1-800-XFINITY or Xfinity.com. I don't know if you watched the end of the Nebraska-Michigan game.
I did. Yes.
I've gotten to where I really do feel bad. I really do feel bad for Scott Frost, who's now 0-10 against ranked opponents in Lincoln, by the way. 0-10. And his boy, Adrian Martinez, fumbled to set up that Michigan field goal. That's not good, man. They have outplayed several teams and lost. He looked like, and I'm not even kidding, he looked like he was fighting back tears. Not Adrian Martinez.
Yeah, Frost, yeah.
I thought he was going to cry. And I do think it's because he cares deeply about that team, and he knows they're worlds better than where they started. But they keep losing these games. It's incredible. They had Michigan State beat. They give up a punt return and a crazy play, and they lose in overtime. This game, they were better than Michigan for much of this game, and then Martinez fumbles. You're like, oh, my God. This is going to test the bounds of loyalty.
Oh, Scott Frost looked like our boy from Breaking Bad when he realized the woman with the black hair doesn't love him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just looked like he's ready. He's just pouting right there. You could see it. The wheels are turning. It's like the moment, not the same, because one is a heartbreaking loss and the other is just a terrible, terrible bludgeoning. But it's the same thing as we saw to Mike Norvell on the road at Louisville last year, where there is a look on the outside, but it really tells you what's going on the inside. And it's through the subtleties you see in the facial expression, the anguish and or anger that's raging inside. There's no way that game could finish like that, is what Scott Frost is thinking. But it did, and it did again.
Well, they had Oklahoma beat. They had Michigan State beat. Yep. They had Michigan beat. I mean, this is just silliness. Just silliness. I mean, it's got to – I want to circle back to our win over North Carolina.
That's a good place to go to.
Well, I failed to bring this quote up because I found it very, very interesting. This is what Mack Brown had to say about the loss to Florida State.
I watched that presser. Okay.
First of all, I'm telling you, two fingers, buddy. Mack's got some problems going on. There's some stuff. He didn't look right on the sidelines to me. That's all I'm saying. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But, Tom, those recruiting classes were real. And the stockpiling of talent was real.
Same thing at Texas. They had a lot of good recruiting classes.
Well, now listen, you know I have been the biggest detractor of Mack Brown throughout his career, and it was made easy for me when he was at Texas for a lot of reasons. But North Carolina is a different animal. To get them to win 9-10 games that quickly is legitimately a good job. He did a good job. I just didn't think for the long term this was going to be the answer because he's 105 years old. Secondly, He looks 105 years old, even if he's 50, and he's not 50. But the point would be, he looked just like his players did, a little checked out. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, but here's what he had to say after the game. That's not what he said.
I thought that was the audio we were looking for.
But he actually did kind of say that. The expectations for us to be a top 10 team were all wrong. So I guess we should all be critical of the media for picking us too high, because we're not that good. So you guys all screwed this up. What are we doing, Mac?
Yeah. Eugene Levy was at the presser. That's his reaction.
what are we doing, Mac?
Now, that was a joke.
It was a joke. It was said in jest, but
it didn't land right.
Well, it didn't land right, and it also,
much like their game plan.
I would also tell you that, yeah, he said it tongue-in-cheek. It was born from a thought process he had that he believes to be true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He didn't just do that to have fun with the media. He thinks that, and that's how he even got to that place to tell that joke. He knew it wouldn't land if he said it with sincerity. He knew it wouldn't land if he looked out there and had this angry demeanor. He knew he had to say it tongue-in-cheek because he knows the blowback for saying something like that is significant. But he thinks it. He does.
Yeah. It's fun to see. I checked over at a couple of maybe the message boards in the North Carolina community.
You happened to check over there, did you?
Yeah, just to see how they responded to it.
My dad's favorite pastime is checking other teams' fan bases' message boards after brutal losses.
And one theme that came up among many was, boy, he didn't seem to mind that attention at all when they were getting it and times were good.
Mm.
In fact, he loved the networks spending a lot of time talking about how good North Carolina is and what a job Mack Brown has done. It's amazing how he doesn't want that type of attention anymore. Mm. Indeed. I would agree, North Carolina posters.
Yeah, I was I was struck by that. And I don't, you know, listen, I don't hate Mac Brown.
Mac Brown, he must love me then, because I knew he was a fraud in the preseason.
Yeah.
He's, you know what? They should have listened to that guy in Tallahassee. He's unbelievable.
Well, for a long time, I would tell people that Mac Brown got way too much love for the two conference titles that he won at Texas. Two. In 16 years. But that said, you know, I don't know him personally. I've met him, but I don't know. I don't know what kind of person he is. I'm sure he's adored by many.
I met him in a tough moment, about the announcement of the terminal
illness,
you were
there.
And he could not have been.
He handled that with great grace.
Unbelievable grace.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we're talking football right now, and not humanity. I mean, we're just talking football. And
Yeah. No. Hey, listen. They had the better team on Saturday, and they lost. So there's that. That's all you can say. that's it's brutal. No smoke, because he is not Patino. I wouldn't put that on him. No. We can't put that on him.
There's no way that Mac Brown has that type of sinister in him. He's a better person than Rick Pitino. Most people are, but Mac is, from what I can gather, a way better person than Rick Pitino.
Well, it wouldn't be hard. Wouldn't be hard. Should I take a break and then we get like 1 minute little speed demon thing here? Should I go all the way to the end?
Well,
I kind of plowed through stuff, didn't I?
Just give us your best 90 seconds right here and then we're good to go.
And then we're going
to
go all the way to the top. Well, that said, I wanted to get that quote out there to you. And then I also wanted to say very quietly, Tom, and this is a little pat on my back because it's still live. You saw what my boys from Utah did to USC on Saturday.
Yep, there it is. There it is.
Baby.
All right.
There it is.
All right. I
Come
played that.
On now.
There was a small part of me, too, that had the A&M over 9.5 regular season wins. I'm like, well, this is kind of hard. You get past the Alabama game, he's already had his Jimbo special. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe this is another one of those years where we say, well, we turn the corner, and he can keep selling it to him, and he'll get up to $11 million a year. Yeah.
All I know is that Utah laid a drubbing on USC in the Coliseum, 42-26, non-competitive action, Tom. We got a shot still to come out alive in that Utah bet. That was big. That was probably only to me and the fine folks at Utah.
Well, you also played Georgia to win the title, right?
Yeah, at plus 800.
There you go.
Oh, I got some things. I got some things still
cooking.
Working. Got some
long-term tickets.
Yeah, long-term tickets still working with Georgia, certainly. But that Utah one, it was slipping. We were on the edge. I was holding on for dear life. I was, you got to beat USC. And they did. Look at Arizona State's crew. Look at Herm Edwards. We're breaking. We'll come back. Hour number 2.